blessed so far this morning. Welcome to Church of the Canyons. I'm so glad to be here, and not just to be here this morning, but to be here as part of this church. It really, truly has been a blessing to me, having come from North Carolina about a year ago. And I think back to even just the past 2 weeks, how long and difficult it was with all my papers and final exams being due. I finished my last exam this past Friday. And about middle of the week this past week, one of the ladies from the church just came up into my office. I was still working, studying, really worn out. She came into my office and just prayed for me. And it was so sweet to my soul. It just refreshed me for the next several hours so that I could finish my work that evening. And I found that that has been emblematic of this church, particularly you ladies. And so I've just been incredibly blessed by it. And it also reminds me of my own mother, who I've come to realize within the past year that there's no one in my life who's prayed more for me than my own mother. And that is such a blessing to me. And so let us look into the scriptures now to see how it is that we might honor our mothers. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And then verse 4, he adds, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. You've been a good father. And we thank you. You've called us by adoption through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be your sons and daughters. And I pray that we would understand just how valuable that is. And we don't have enough words to express our gratitude. But as we look into the scriptures, I pray that the truth of your word would be made much of and be magnified, that you would be glorified, and that you would help to impress these truths into our lives and that it would have a lasting impact. Help me now, strengthen me, not for my own sake, but for your sake, that you would be glorified. Pray that you would increase. Pray that I would decrease. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So I'm the father. I'm the fifth. I'm the fifth in a family of eight boys, and so here's my seven brothers. I'm not here. This is right there. Tay, my brother, he got married probably in late July, just a month after I came out here. So I just missed it. But here, I want to note. So this is my oldest. And then right beside him is my youngest. And then so this is all of us on the right side. And so this is my mom, and this is my dad. We've added two ladies to our family. But you've got to kind of imagine kind of from here that it's my mom and then just a sea of sons. And to say that we were a challenge as sons, that would be a heavy understatement. We were not terribly good at obedience. And it must have seemed to her that so often we did the very opposite of what she wanted us to do, the opposite of her expectation. And in our families, like in many families, my oldest brother and there, my oldest brother, I felt that he got away with everything. You know, he'd mess up or do something that he wasn't supposed to, and it just felt like there was so much grace lavished upon him, so much forgiveness. And the result of that was that the rest of us middle children, our parents came down really heavy on us. It was so strict, so much discipline. So we really paid the price because of, my oldest brother. But by the time they got to the youngest son, I felt that my parents just really loosened up. He was and is the favorite. I picked on him a lot, but everyone loved him. So my youngest one, he didn't always necessarily feel that way. When he was in elementary school, he actually kept a hidden list with each of our names on it, the brothers. And what he would do is anytime that we pestered him, we bothered him, annoyed him, he would put a tally beside our names. So all of us would have these tally marks, right? We'd have just a handful. But there was one name, and it was just all the way across the page. And you want to guess who that was? Yeah, so if there's any credence to that list, then you got the worst of the bunch. Now, my mom was a disciplinarian, and rightly so. We definitely deserved it. We didn't always understand it, and certainly didn't appreciate it in the moment. But reflecting back on the things that we put her through, I'm thankful, because that discipline helped shape us into men who she could trust with what God was doing in our lives today. This morning, we're going to look at the very best gift we can give our mothers. I'm young, and there's a lot of things that I don't yet know, a lot of things that I have to learn. But this I know for certain, from my experiences and from God's word: children should honor their parents through Christ-like obedience, because it's right, because it's reverent, because it's rewarding. So look at verse 1 in Ephesians 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." What Paul is saying here is that the reason children are to obey their parents is because it's right. Obedience is the right thing to do. The word children in the Greek is technon. This term isn't confined to just young people. It can refer to a newborn, a teen, or even someone much older, but it is primarily within the context of the family setting. The word obey means literally to hear under or to listen under. The implication of that listening under is to heed or to conform to a command or authority. What Paul calls for here was oftentimes the opposite of what my brothers and I did. We were under the authority of our parents, but we weren't looking up for them for commandments. We didn't conform to their commands or heed their authority in our lives. Frankly, sometimes we just weren't even listening. And as parents, you know what that's like. Now, what's the matter with that? Verse 1, again, says that we are to obey in the Lord. In the Lord is an important phrase that frames our obedience. Obedience to your parents is less about being a child of your father and your mother, and infinitely more about being a child of your heavenly Father. Paul opened up his letter in this way. He wrote, "In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ." In chapter 2, he adds, "You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." Then in chapter 5, he writes, "Be imitators of God as beloved children." Paul isn't just appealing to the fact that you're someone's child, but that you're a precious child of God. Therefore, one of the most powerful ways that we obey God is by obeying our parents. Paul then concludes the reason for this obedience. Look back into your Bibles. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This explanation perhaps seems too simple, maybe even unsatisfactory. Sometimes parents tell us to do certain things and we just don't understand why. And Paul says, obey, because this is right. Do we always understand what our parents are telling us to do? No. And there are a lot of things that I don't understand. I don't understand gravity. I don't understand the depth of God's love. I don't understand girls. But I know that they're all really, really important. And when Paul says, this is right, when he says that, he means it's righteous. He means it's fundamental. It's a part of the natural order of things. That's the reason why he appeals to the Old Testament command to honor your parents in the very next verse. That the Ten Commandments didn't introduce new laws. Those laws always were. They're part of the fabric of creation. Writing them down just set them before the people as if God were saying, I'm going to highlight some fundamental laws here for you now about the whole of life that you might keep them, you might observe them and impress them upon your hearts and upon your minds. Someone might say, well, if you knew my parents, then you wouldn't say this is right. And I don't know everyone's family situations. No two family situations are the same. But in so much as our obedience is in the Lord, we can always trust the truth of God's word and that what he says is right and that what he says is good. So obeying our parents is right. And Paul now wants to make sure that we're not just obeying the letter of the law, but that we're obeying the Spirit. Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Obedience is not only the right thing to do, but also obedience is the reverent thing to do. The obedience that Paul calls children to is not merely an external action, but it is an internal affection. Now, what does honor mean? Honor means to revere, to affix a high value to something. And especially when we look at this word in the Old Testament context, it includes the idea of being heavy or great. It's the Hebrew root kavod, from which we get the noun glory. As a teenager, obeying my parents was a duty. It was never a delight. When I was 14 years old, my aspiration was to become a youth pastor. And neither of my parents thought this was a particularly good idea. And if you knew me at 14, you might agree. I was pretty close to being the quintessential nerd. You could see me in the school hallway, sometimes with my shirt tucked in, textbook in one hand, pencil behind my ear, my backpack strapped probably too tight and high on my back. So the only thing I was missing were geeky glasses. So it kind of made sense that my parents wanted me to be a doctor or an engineer. They wanted something more certain, secure, something more financially stable than vocational ministry. And so to that end, I figured I'd become a school teacher. It was truly a blessing and one of the great and necessary experiences of my life. It was during my second or third year of teaching, one of my students asked me if I thought my parents were proud of me. I didn't know what to say. Because from age 14 through to my early 20s, I had obeyed my parents in not pursuing pastoral ministry. But my heart was very far from them. What kind of gift was that to my parents? My obedience didn't reflect a great reverence for them. My obedience didn't show that I valued them. The Lord labored long that I might learn this lesson, that my relationship with my parents, it isn't just about obedience. It's also about honor. It's not just about what's right. It's about what's reverent. I thank God that he used those years as a teacher to shape me into who I am now. He totally changed my heart. After many years, God had taught me to honor my parents. I remember returning home to tell my parents that I was going to seminary. And not just that I was going to seminary, but that I was going to seminary in California. And my mom, who along with my dad, right, previously had determined during my teenage years that the pastorate was not in my future. And they had hardly ever let me go on summer camps and winter retreats. Now, I wasn't hanging out with people who I wasn't supposed to be hanging out with. I wasn't trying to sneak out to parties. I just wanted to go spend time with my youth group. And oftentimes they would say no. So after all those years, my mom, whose heart must have trembled at the thought of me leaving California, I could see it in her eyes as I told her. She at last nodded in solemn approval and whispered, "Good, you go." When I learned that a reverent attitude was essential in obeying my parents, we began to experience the fulfillment that God intended for families. So to children, and to young people especially, I want to make this application. Don't look to conform merely by outward actions, but examine your heart in your obedience. Are you content in your obedience to your parents? Does your obedience show your reverence for them? Does it reflect a high value for them? Or are you just waiting for when you're old enough and you can get out of the house and start to live life your own way? From experience, I can say that if that's what you're hoping for, you'll find yourself deeply disappointed. May we be among those who both obey and honor their father and their mother. And to parents, Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Know that the affections of the heart are just as important as the actions of the hands. You can make your children do very many things, but it is only the discipline and the instruction of the Lord that is able to change hearts. This is a great responsibility, fathers. And there's a whole nother sermon here. But today, I just want to say one thing as you look at verse 4. I want to impress this on your mind as you consider verse 4. And it is this: that there's a weight of eternity that is before your children. In the busyness of all you do to provide and care for your family and meeting their needs, do you feel how heavy eternity is? Have you considered how long that is? We can get so caught up with the here and the now and the trivialities of this momentary life, the present tense. And all the while, there's a weight of glory that your children must reckon with. So with all of the other pressures that you feel and all the other burdens that you bear, this is the most weighty thing that fathers need to feel, the weight of your children's eternity. It's so significant here that Paul addresses fathers, for you are to bring up your children in this way, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And what a wonderful gift it is for your wives, for the children, for the mother of your children, when you do this. Now, we've seen that obedience is right and that it is reverent. The third and final point to me is remarkable, namely that obedience is rewarding. Ephesians 6:3 says, "So that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." This verse provides the purpose or the result of both commands to obey and honor parents. In order to make sense of this promise, we must keep two things in mind. One, we must understand it in its context. And two, we must not be mechanical about this verse, our reading of it. First, this promise was originally given to the children of Israel. God gave them a land and called them to observe these commandments, and there was a special emphasis on this one, to honor your father and your mother. The result of their obedience would be a time of blessing and happiness in that promised land. As we move from the Old Testament context to the New Testament context, and certainly in our context, does that mean that if we honor our father and our mother, that we'll have a good, long life? We know that that's not true. So the second reminder is that we're not to apply this in a mechanical way. Paul generalizes this promise as he writes to Gentile believers. We know that a good, long life does not always follow an obedient son or daughter. So then, what does this mean? Paul is expressing how God is pleased when we honor our father and mother. The promise is that for however long God has granted you on this earth, that you will know that you are under his blessing. When Jesus was a boy, he stayed behind in Jerusalem after the Passover feast. He was only 12 years old, and his parents left without him. They journeyed for a day before they realized this. And when they returned, they found Jesus listening and asking questions among and with and to the temple teachers. And when they found him, Jesus said this to his parents: "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So we're fairly familiar with that story, and too often we stop our reading at this point. This is as much as we remember of this story. But Luke 2:51 concludes the account by saying this: "And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." If Jesus was submissive to his parents, then we ought to follow his example and be submissive to our own parents. If submission to parents was good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for us. For Mother's Day now, I send my mom flowers. It is a gift unworthy of her years of sacrifice and her many, many years of having to suffer 8 sons who were so disobedient. And that's just right one category among many. John Piper says this about motherhood: "To be a mother is a call to suffer. Mothers suffer when their children are born. Mothers suffer when their children leave them and go to the mission field. Mothers suffer when their children die. Mothers suffer when their children are foolish. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish one is a sorrow to his mother. To be a mother is a call to suffer. And oh yes, it's more. But you who are mothers know that it's not less. So flowers are sweet, and breakfast in bed, that's adorable. Personal gifts are nice. You ought to continue doing those things. Continue giving, please. And may we all, who are children of the living God, present to our parents, and especially this day to our mothers, the unfading honor of Christ-like obedience, because it is right, because it is reverent, because it is so rewarding. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. You've called us and made us, adopted us as your sons and daughters. This is a great grace. And then you lavish grace upon grace that you would bless us with our earthly mothers. God, our words fail and our actions are not enough to express our gratitude. And I pray that by your grace and by the work of your Holy Spirit, that we would apply and live out these truths. God, this isn't new. We know this. And yet, our words and our actions don't always show that we value this truth, that we value our mothers, that we value our fathers, that we value you. So I pray that you would help us in our weakness. Strengthen us so that we might give you the glory that you are due. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for life and life abundant. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that I pray.